Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown! And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Welcome on in to Cougar Nation. Cougar Nation, Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte with you. Putting a bow on the 2023 BYU football season. Gosh, it was a tough one in Stillwater on Saturday as BYU falls to Oklahoma State in double overtime, 40-34. But beyond that, there's now coaching changes, staff being removed. We got a whole lot to unpack, and we're taking your phone calls, 801-575-8255. So much to get to over the next hour, Matt.
Let's get it started with what we do to start this show every single week.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
There really is so much to unpack, Mitch. There's big picture stuff, but I want to start things by zeroing in on the loss to Oklahoma State. And I felt like my biggest takeaway from the game, this felt like a complete and total coaching loss by the way that they coached that second half. You go into the break up 24-6. All you got to do is really score one more touchdown. And I think where it began was after the fake punt, and it was a beautiful fake punt to Tyler Batty. I didn't feel like there was urgency in that moment to put another one on the board. You had all the momentum right then and there. Go up 28-6 into the half. Then you get the football, and if you add even a field goal at that point, the game is over. But we have heard this so many times the past couple years from the BYU coaches, it makes me vomit, honestly. We win football games by taking care of the football. I get it. You don't want to be reckless with the football, but I feel like there's a stark contrast between taking care of the football and just being downright conservative. In that second half, they were outgained 3-1. They barely got over 100 yards, and if they didn't have that final drive where they moved more than half the field, they would have been under 100 yards for the whole second half. It was just run, run, dink and dunk, jet sweep, little screen here, don't do anything there, be conservative. And that's why they lost the football game. And I feel for the players because the players laid it on the line. They cared, and I loved that. And that's what makes this loss, to me, the most painful one of the season, is that the players laid it on the line and the coaching staff and the way that they coached that second half. They coached not to lose, and coaching not to lose, they lost. And it was frustrating to feel like if you would just be more aggressive, get one more touchdown, you win the football game. That's not what happened.
First half, it felt like they were aggressive. Second half, well, I don't think they were. This was Kalani after the game.
We did everything we can. We threw the playbook at them a little bit, tried to find a way to get more possessions and things like that.
I don't know.
They did throw the first half.
Through first half, they threw the playbook. Second half, not so much. I thought that BYU, like you said, I mean, they were too conservative. And it's like, go down swinging. Yep. You know, you knew instantly the way Oklahoma State came out in that second half. They were ready to attack. They were ready to make a move. It's like, you were up 18 points, a three-possession lead, and it felt instantly in that game. BYU gets a three and out. Oklahoma State moves down the field. And even though they were still up by 11, it was like, uh-oh, this game is swinging in a hurry in favor of Oklahoma State. And BYU was just way too conservative. Another takeaway from me, Oklahoma State, it was an emotional setback. But to me, Matt, it's better at this point to get after it in the transfer portal. I know Kalani Sitake was saying he wanted to extend the season to hang out with the seniors and have bowl practices and whatnot. But to me, this was not a good football team. They finished 5-7. They close out a regular season with a 5-game losing streak. First time a BYU football team has done that since 1955. Come on now. It's been so long since that happened. It was just done. There was no need to get extra bowl practices. It's time to go into that transfer portal and retool this roster, retain some of the key players that you want to keep. But it's just, to me, it's better to move on. And that's why, you know, going away from or having the season wrap up, that's why we saw changes today with the coaching staff as BYU moved on from Steve Clark and Daryl Funk along the offensive line.
That was another takeaway. It was just clear in that football game that change had to be made. And the obvious one was Daryl Funk. The offensive line regressed. And look, there was too much talent on that offensive line to be as poor as they were. You've got a guy who's going to be selected in the NFL draft. I don't think he's a first-round guy anymore. But
no.
Kingsley's probably a day two guy, second or third round pick. That's great for him, and that's great for BYU. Connor Pay, what they did to Connor Pay is should be a crime, for heaven's sakes. That dude is a center. And when BYU ran the ball the best this season, he was the center. Him getting yanked around, that made no sense. It had to happen. The Steve Clark one to me is a little painful. I get it. The tight end production was not there. I thought he was a good recruiter. You know, he was great with the media. And, hey, stuff happens. I get it. But I thought that maybe there was enough there to see what he could do one more year. But it is what it is. When you go 5-7 and you have a chance, they had multiple chances to go to a bowl game and have a quote-unquote winning season, and you don't do so, change has to happen. That's what comes with the territory of Power 5 football.
There was a real argument to be made that the whole offensive staff should have been canned.
Yeah.
Just let go, honestly. Because if you make these changes with Funk, Kalani was taking indirect shots in a way to Funk for weeks, saying the offensive line whiffed at West Virginia. And the film didn't lie. It was whiffs.
Yep.
We saw it on film. And then Keenan Slovis, we want to keep him safe. Keep him safe? What is this, the gangs? What are we talking about here? Keep him safe? No, the offensive line won't protect for him because he's not a mobile quarterback and he's going to be taking shots left and right because this O-line can't protect. It was clear as day that the offensive line needed a change. But I think you're right with Steve Clark. I think that position group, though, regressed. And I think that, you know, with Isaac Rex, he was the one guy. And what a – it's just a sad way for that to end for Isaac Rex.
Horrible.
Terrible end for him. And you feel from the emotion that he had walking into the locker room, that was one of the more emotional scenes I have ever witnessed covering this team now for – this was my 10th football season in the media. That was pretty emotional. That to where you're like, it's pulling on your heartstrings a little bit, seeing the emotion
because
that he had.
He's done so much good for BYU throughout his career.
But I think that, you know, he was a guy that's dealt with a lot of injuries, never really regained the form that he had in 2020. And after him, who was there? Ray Paulo, Mata'ava Taase, guys that back in July, folks like ourselves who follow this roster very in depth, were like, who?
Yeah.
And there were your number two and number three options. The tight end room was bleak. And but again, that can all circle funnel back to the OC.
I think it does, because you look at Dallin Holker, it would be a perfect case of put the blame on the OC and not the tight ends coach. If you had him in the mix and you were using the tight ends properly, are we having a different conversation?
But you make this change if you know you've already in your back pocket through backdoor networking and channeling, you've got something better. That's the only explanation, because Clark's solid.
Yeah,
like, I think he's a because
and his recruiting 2 4-star
that's
guys.
That's what
in the
I
past
like too.
Years.
He's a good recruiter, because honestly, when it comes to assistant coaches, I don't need the greatest X's and O's mind. I need a brilliant recruiter, and if you're that, I'm okay to keep you because you're not ultimately calling the plays.
Yep.
So, and I like that he does have a offensive coordinator background to where he can share his insight and opinions when it comes to creating this game plan and
right.
getting ready for game day. But you make the change if you do know you've got a better upgrade, and that's going to be the case. We'll see in the coming days where BYU goes in that direction. I think a lot of people have thrown out the name of Jeff Grimes because
he's gone.
Baylor has moved on from him, but he always works at BYU. He is a surefire thing. Jeff Grimes, coaching the O-line, coaching the tight ends, that works. If BYU can get him, you're probably going to have to open up the pocketbooks to do it. I think BYU's got more resources than they put off. That'd be a nice addition for BYU if they could get Jeff Grimes. But you're going to have competition. He's been linked to maybe the UTEP head coaching job. That's his alma mater, so that's why that might be of interest to him.
I would advise anyone in the coaching profession to stay away from that UTEP job.
I agree, but if you're Jeff Grimes, you can always fall back on knowing an SEC program or somewhere is going to take you
or
as
BYU.
An online coach or BYU. As an O-line coach. And I think also, too, with him, see, to me, these changes today, and again, we are taking your phone calls, 801-575-8255. What needs to change for BYU football next season? BYU everyone's on the hot seat now. To me, everything's got to ramp up, especially Kalani and A-Rod. It's all ratcheting up where next year you've got to get to a bowl game.
Yep.
You can't just settle for 4-8, 5-7, say it's okay.
Nope.
You got to get to a bowl game. So you got to go with a surefire hire that you know is going to work. And that's why I think a name like Jeff Grimes makes a lot of sense for BYU if you can get him and bring him on as a associate head coach or run game coordinator. I'd be curious to see how the dynamic would work with him and Roderick if that happened, but you know that works. I think you need guaranteed this will work with someone when you're hiring on to this staff now.
Got to get to a break. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. Taking your calls on the other side.
Cougar Nation.
A 75-yard touchdown run down the far sideline.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Taking your calls here at Cougar Nation. Do not leave us hanging, BYU fans. I know it was a disappointing end of the year. It was tough. But we know you got opinions on the game.
Oh, yes.
And we know you got opinions on what you want to see changed for BYU football next year. 801-575-8255. Light up the phone line. Let me give you my first thought on what needs to change, Mitch. There needs to be a philosophy overhaul offensively with Aaron Roderick and this staff, whether it's Jeff Grimes coming back, whether it's a new guy. You got to fill two spots.
Yeah.
So it's got to be Jeff Grimes and somebody. And it could be a tight end coach, could get a dedicated quarterback coach, which I wouldn't hate.
I'd love that.
I feel like, gosh, you got to get back to that 2020 team vibe where you were slinging it all over the yard. I don't want to hear conservative, take care of the football. That's how we win games. Like, we get it. You can't have five turnovers and win a football game. But where's the aggression? I want to have a team that leaves it all out there. And I was thinking about the Oklahoma game versus the Oklahoma State game, too. The Oklahoma game was a painful loss, don't get me wrong, but didn't it feel different than Oklahoma State? They went down swinging hard, they made some mistakes,
yes,
and they lost. And you walked out of there feeling like, hey, that was a great game even though we lost. Like, wish we didn't have the obvious interception for a touchdown, but they left it all out there. And against Oklahoma State, I felt like that wasn't the case. Like, not from a player's perspective, the players clearly emptied the tank, but it felt different. I want a philosophy shift offensively to where it's more aggressive. I want to blow teams out, Mitch. I want, when you have someone against the wall like Texas Tech, put the pedal to the metal.
Or beat Arkansas.
Or Arkansas. Blow, or Oklahoma State. Put them away. Like, that's what we have to have if we're going to compete in the Big 12. You can't eke by every win. You got to have some big wins. So I want a philosophy change.
I like that. I want to see a change where BYU is not saying all 123 guys get an NIL cut. I want it to be the top dogs, you're going to get yours, and player number 123, we love you, and we want to find a way to get you some sort of cut, but you're not going to get number one player's cut. Like that. Because I just feel like if you could get, it's not like basketball where one guy could change the fortunes of your team, but I feel like if you could hit it out of the park with a few transfers, because I think that the ex social media echo chamber just says BYU doesn't have the resources. Why do they even do it? Why do they even operate? Why do they even go show up? They don't have the resources. It's like, folks, please stop. Like, they talk about the honor code. That's not like, I'm not even, the honor code isn't the worry anymore. It's more about, you know, navigating academics. That's still tough, but you know, NIL is a thing, and BYU can always improve in that front. You know, is the administration, are they supportive of the idea of a player maybe getting $500,000? Not saying that would be the necessary rate, but if you could get a superstar at quarterback that you know is going to change the fortunes and get you to a bowl game, but it might cost $500,000, are you willing to do that? Like, that's to me a change where I got to see that in NIL, because the approach that Kalani has taken has been very noble in this world of, hey, let's get it for everyone, an equal cut. But there's a difference between, you know, a star talent like maybe an LJ Martin and a guy that's just, you know, a walk-on that's, you know, it's just fortunate to be on the team. So I would like to see that change going forward. Look, and I don't like Kalani's approach. I know he was getting kind of ripped on message boards and social media for his interview with Greg and Hands, where he was asked, how do you bring back Tyler Batty and Isaac Rex? And he's like, if they just want to come back for NIL, I don't want that. And I agree with that. If you're coming to BYU solely for NIL, that's not going to work. But if you can get a guy that's very interested in BYU, and then you can ultimately get him over the finish line by having a big paycheck, get that done.
Yeah,
because there's enough here at BYU, I think. There's enough boosters that they're passionate, and they want to win. There's competitive people in this BYU booster group and fan base. They want to get it done. And I think tapping into the resources and have a willingness to say, this one guy is going to make a boatload of money, maybe more than a lot of your assistant coaches.
We're taking your calls. 801-575-8255. What changes do you want to see next season, or thoughts on the loss against Oklahoma State right now? Let's go out to the phone line. The phone line's getting active. This is what we like. Let's start with our first caller, Chad from Huntsville. Your thoughts on the offensive staff, Chad. What do you got?
Thank you very much for taking my call. First, I want to say I called in a couple of weeks ago, said we need the eye of the tiger. I'm proud of these guys. I think they fought hard, whether that's to position themselves better for the portal or whatever, or maybe, you know, hopefully they'll stick around. I'd like to see that. I love that we're getting a different offensive coordinator. I'm so glad that, you know, over and over again, I'm like, what's wrong with the play call here? This is not working. So I think you know, we've always been a pass team. Run feeds off the pass, not the pass feeds off the run, which is what most teams do. At least that's my opinion. I had one other question. You're talking about players getting paid to come play. This is a new concept for me. Maybe I'm old school. I don't know what that means. I'll just hang up and listen to your answer.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Chad. It's just NIL opportunities where an
it's not
NIL
necessarily
collective,
pay for play, but it's
Kalani,
sort of.
Kalani can't say, hey, come to BYU and get half a meal, but NIL collective that's endorsed by BYU could say, hey, we've got this package for you. If they're showing interest in BYU, this is something we offer to you. To come, there's verbiage that's not specifically pay for play, but
yeah. Yes,
there's a collective involved. Yep. It's deep in the weeds stuff, but it's the name of the game when it comes to the portal. Let's get out of the phone line again. Tyler from Lehigh, your thoughts on the game on Saturday and BYU football. What's on your mind, Tyler?
With the game Saturday, the one thing that I'm most confused by, and hearing your Cougar tracks on KSL radio, with Kalani saying that Keaton wasn't 100%. But if you look at the game, I feel like Jake wasn't 100%. And I just want to know your guys' opinion on why, I guess, they wouldn't put in Slovis for at least a quarter or like a quarter and a half to see what would happen.
Man, that's a good question. I don't know if we'll ever fully know the truth behind it, but I feel like Aaron Roderick thought he had a better chance to win with the mobile quarterback, and that's why they rode with Retzlaff. And I just felt like in that game, Mitch, Retzlaff was not going to take you there. He was 14 of 30. He was missing routine throws. That does not mean he can't become a good quarterback down the road. His game against Oklahoma State was not his finest performance, and that to me was a perfect time in a do-or-die situation to try someone else, whether it was Slovis, Finnegan. I didn't care. I wanted to see something else.
I agree, just because it's the last game, season's on the line. You got to get something else out there because the accuracy issues with Retzlaff were an issue, but there was so much of a focus to get the run game going, but that was stonewalled at times. So that's why it's like, go to Slovis, because he can open it up in the passing game. And he's
Retzlaff
not going to
11
either.
Carries for -3 yards. Yeah. So he wasn't a difference maker in the run game.
Right. It's one of the great mysteries. Appreciate the call. 801-575-8255. Taking a break. News, traffic, and weather next. Then we'll get to what's trending up and trending down with BYU football as they head into the offseason and get ready for year two in the Big 12 era. Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation.
Touchdown, Cougars take the lead.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in, Cougar Nation. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday evening, even though BYU football's done for the year. It feels weird. No bowl game for BYU football. It's not a good vibe. It's not a good feeling. But, hey, when you're not a good football team, you don't deserve to go to a bowl game. And that was the case for BYU as the quest to get back to bowl eligibility, it starts now. Like today was day one to getting back to respectability because BYU was just not a good football team. 2-7 this year in the Big 12, 5-7 overall. Tough schedule, But, man.
Hardest schedule in the Big 12.
It was. And it was maybe the toughest schedule in BYU history. I think the numbers would probably bear that out. I'd have to go do a deep dive on it. But it was a tough year for BYU. We want to get your thoughts, Cougar Nation. 801-575-8255. Let's get out to the line. Welcome in Dan from West Haven. Dan, you want to talk recruiting? What's on your mind?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we all know recruiting is the lifeblood of you know, our sports teams, you know, specifically football. And, you know, I mean, obviously we're talking about overhauls. I'd love to see an overhaul of our recruiting process. I mean, the reality is we've got like two guys in our recruiting office, and I feel like we're way behind the eight ball on this. Like, I know Utah's got at least 10. And I mean, I'm sure other teams in the Big 12 have, you know, larger departments as well. And so that's what I feel like we need to really focus on is an overhaul of our recruiting. And I'll hang up and listen to your guys' response.
Dan, well said. BYU absolutely needs to improve on the recruiting department right now. They got Justin Anderson as kind of the director of player personnel, and then Vince Faiula taking on the director of recruiting role. But they need more. After those guys, it's a lot of student interns that, you know, they'll be there for a semester or maybe a full year, a full academic year, and then they're gone. You need full-time people that are dedicated to the recruiting grind where, you know, and you've got those student interns right now, they're evaluating 2026 kids, 2027, 2028 even. But that's where you got to have paid professionals that have kind of skin in the game where they've been doing it at a high level. That's what you need. You need about 10 people deep on the recruiting trail because – you look at BYU's recruiting class right now, number 61 overall in the team recruiting rankings for 24/7 sports, kind of the industry standard in the recruiting game. That's okay. But to me, if you want to be a consistent, bowl-eligible Big 12 team, you need to be an annual top 40 team in the recruiting rankings. And BYU can do it. They've done it in the past. And I don't think I never subscribe to the thought of, well, BYU's got limitations. Like, no. Like, BYU has always recruited
at a high
level.
They did.
They've always recruited a high level, though. It's regressed recently when you were an independent and the importance of conference affiliation became greater than ever. But now you're in the Big 12. Now you can sell the element of, hey, you can go play for a national title with the 12-team playoff. Why not come here? You play a great brand of football at BYU. Get these kids and open up new roads. BYU has a lot to offer, and you can tell this recruiting class, you can come play. Because to me, I don't feel like anyone's nailed down any sort of job for next year's team. I'm sorry. I look across the board on this team for next year. Who do you say is the face of the program right now?
Nobody.
I feel like it's up for grabs. There's got to be competition all across the board. And if you're a heralded kid with a lot of offers, you can get some NIL piece together with the deal. Get these guys in here to come in and compete and play right away. If you can get them for just at least 1 year, like just – You got to be more aggressive, relentless on the recruiting trail.
Let me add to that. It's something I strongly believe in and have for a long time on Cougar Sports Saturday, which will return in its original form this Saturday, noon to 3. So, and look, we're mixing in some hoops starting on Saturday as well. So looking forward to that. Number 19 in the nation. They deserve some love. They'll get it on Saturday when we roll out Cougar Sports Saturday again. They have to put a higher emphasis on local in-state recruiting and keeping guys of the faith that have 3, 4, 5 stars. They need to come to BYU. Look, you're a portal guy. BYU had a good portal class this year, and it didn't really pan out the way that we thought it all would.
I would say, though, with the LDS recruits, I get kind of tired of the thought of some of these LDS recruits in the past that said, well, BYU didn't recruit me first, so now I'm not interested. But, you know, a major Big Ten school could swoop in at the last minute, and that's okay for me.
I agree. That's
There's
annoying.
Always a higher standard for BYU. It's like, well, they didn't recruit me first, so I'm going to hold it against them forever. It's like, why is – we see that. Like, BYU's in the Big 12. They could be a little more selective. And I don't agree where you just willy-nilly say, here, you're a local kid, so here's an offer. But I do agree you got to get better in the state because you look at the top 10 recruits in the 2024 class, you've only got one, and that's DeVoe Tuataga, who's a good edge rusher, and hopefully he pans out. That's been another position, too. BYU's getting edge rushers in-state. None of them are hitting. Michael Daly officially announced formally he's going to the portal. We've known that for weeks. Michael Daly, Michael Daly, John Henry Daly, expected to be going to the portal as well. There's a lot of movement for BYU, and none of these guys are hitting. on that edge rusher spot. You got to hit at the high school level at the edge rushers, because one thing I've seen the last 4 or 5 years when it comes to transfer portal, you're not getting elite offensive tackles. You're not getting elite edge rushers at those positions.
No.
It's the skill positions where the portal has just a massive wave of talent. But on the lines, you're not going to the portal. You got to get high school recruiting. You got to recruit at a high level. And if you're going to win in the Big 12, you got to get some guys that are going to have a long list of Power 5 offers, and you got to go compete. And that consists of every single day bending the knee to a 17-year-old and texting them all the time, sending them edits. And look, if you're a middle-aged man, you're thinking that, like, that sounds awful. But your living is determined by these 17-year-olds. So that's what it is. College football
is
a bizarre—
not a place I want to be.
It is a bizarre sport, but that's what it is in this game. And that's where I think, too, NIL can help the cause.
Yes.
Because, again, I believe that BYU has a lot to sell. Like, I think you and I are people that look at this program and go, man, there's so much potential. Kalani understands that. I love the passion that Kalani brings, but they just got to kind of fine-tune the nuts and bolts and execute this thing at a higher level and just kind of make sure this operation is just kind of churning. And you got to put more resources to that recruiting staff. So when Dan calls in and talks about the recruiting, that is a piece that's got to kind of ramp up a little bit and have more manpower added, man or women, whatever it is. You got to add some more people to that
group. It's got to be better across the board. I just feel like, gosh, the easiest way to do this is to get more Reiner Swansons. Like,
yes.
That's what I'm referring to when I say
sure.
local. And like, that was a big get. Start to get those kids who maybe before would say, I like you, BYU, but you're not playing big boy football.
Sure.
Now that that's removed, hone in on those guys and land those guys. Because your point about one of 10 in state, top 10 for next
yeah.
year, that's not good enough
no.
if you want to compete in the Big 12.
I completely agree. Our producer, Nate Slack, just chimed in with a great nugget. Kalani needs to pull a page out of Broncos' book and draw pictures of recruits to send to them.
Hey, that worked for him.
It worked for Diane Lake.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. That was a very like chiseled Diane Lake. Hey, let's get to what's trending up and trending down in the world of BYU football.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this football season?
We'll make this quick because we got to get to a break here. I'd say trending up real quick. Middle linebacker, thought that was a position group that looked pretty good against Oklahoma State. Ace Kafusi, Harrison Taggart, Siali Asare, I know he's banged up, but that's a position I feel like there's some optimism growing going forward for BYU.
Trending up for me, Will Farron.
Yeah.
That was a cold-blooded kick.
Yes.
Right down the pipe. That could have went from 55. Look, I was a doubter to start the year. I really was.
Everyone was.
I'm all in. Like, BYU's in a good spot for the next 2 years.
Spencer Linton reported that he got a scholarship, so well-deserved for Will Farron. Trending down, job security for coaches. I just think that, hey, when you make changes and you have a losing season, like BYU doesn't lose. I don't care that you went to the Big 12. The standard doesn't get lowered.
Yep.
You elevate the standard because you're now on a bigger stage. So job security takes a hit for some of these coaches.
Play calling from Aaron Roderick trending down for me. I just thought, especially the past couple weeks, it was super conservative. They played not to lose, and that's not going to work.
Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. Taking our final break. We'll take more of your calls next here on Cougar Nation.
Cougar Nation.
The Cougars picked it up!
Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. We host Cougar Sports Saturday, every Saturday, noon to 3. You'll hear us this week. And, of course, Cougar Nation, I don't know, can we tease it yet? We will. Can we announce it?
I think we can tease it.
We're coming back with Cougar Nation for basketball season. We'll get the start date announced here soon.
Look, this football season had us a little woozy. We need to just quickly check in with our families, make sure that we're still okay. And then we're getting on all aboard the Hoops
yes.
train, baby.
Cougar Nation will be back soon for basketball season, so stay tuned for that. So we'll be every Monday talking Big 12 hoops and BYU here on Cougar Nation. We're always taking your phone calls, 801-575-8255. You can hop in on board with us tonight. What needs to change for BYU football next season? Let's talk a little bit more about the coaching staff changes today. Steve Clark gone. Daryl Funk gone as well. right moves? I know we kind of touched on a little bit, but where do you think BYU should go next moving forward now?
I would love to see, I mean, you can't hate on a return of Jeff Grimes. Like, and that's widely speculated because it's obvious to put the tea leaves together. He's been here multiple times. He's had success here. So
the only thing that you could hate on is just it's not an innovative hire.
No.
Like, it's just a retread. But
and I would
it
also,
would be a great – it'd be a nice get because that guy gets results at the O-line.
Yes. I would also – the one thing that I would consider – Is there someone young and up and coming that you could grab? You know that so yeah. This name's been thrown around before. Ryan Pugh, maybe he makes a return or someone like that.
Trending up in the group of five ranks.
Trending up. The one thing that I would love to see is a dedicated quarterback coach. Mm. I just feel like, man, how do you effectively coach that group while also having to worry about the whole offensive scheme? It's just the quarterback play this year, it took a dip. Let's call it what it is. And last year, too, there was nobody ready after Jaren Hall. That's also not acceptable in today's day and age of college football where the odds are you play multiple quarterbacks just like BYU did this year. How did they not have someone ready last year? So help Aaron Roderick in that regard by bringing in a dedicated quarterback coach.
At that quarterback spot, I'd honestly be okay with going with the analyst, Matt Mitchell, because he's got a great working relationship with Aaron Roderick. He's been working with the quarterbacks already. I'd be okay if that's what ended up happening, where you do hire, say, in a hypothetical, Jeff Grimes. Maybe he takes over O-line, tight end, associate head coach, run game coordinator. And then you have Matt Mitchell, who has also worked with Grimes. He went to Baylor with Grimes. That makes sense to me. It seems like that fits. Can they check egos at the door? Because, let's face it, I think that would be an interesting dynamic in a hypothetical here if Grimes did come back. He was once the OC. He was the guy that brought in A-Rod with Kalani. Kalani was heavily involved with that. But does that work where it's A-Rod's offense? That would be something that you'd sort out if that day
comes. And
that's
assuming Jeff Grimes wants to return. Maybe he doesn't.
Yeah. And that's very true, too, because if he could get a head coaching job, I mean, there's only 130-something men that can say they're an FBS head coach. And, look, if you could get to 5-6 wins at UTEP on an annual basis, you're going to have job security. You're going to make probably $1 million-something and have a guaranteed seven-figure salary. Yeah, and he could probably pull down $1 million in the SEC. All the TV money that league's going to be pulling down with ESPN going forward, and his track record from LSU, like their heyday of putting out great O-linemen, yeah, Jeff Grimes could definitely probably be $1 million offensive line coach. So to assume that he would just be a slam dunk for BYU is definitely foolish. But I think also what's the appeal to BYU for someone like Grimes, he knows he's got coachable guys here. He knows he can recruit here. He knows he can have NFL linemen here. And you get a little bit of work-life balance, too. And I know that fans don't want to hear that. I think everyone wants to hear, you're working 22 hours a day. You're sweating. Like, you're just never sleeping, and you're grinding to win a Big 12 title. I get that, but that's not the reality. You get Sundays off. Kalani gives you
and
the chance.
And there's more security here than most college places.
And Kalani gives you the chance to leave at 7 o'clock. Like, he's not telling you, hey, sleep in the office and stay here all night until we get something fixed. Yep. Like, he's got a little perspective. And I think there's some value, and that's why a lot of coaches do want to stay here and come back here, even if they are a retread name that you've heard a lot. So, and honestly, too, I got to imagine there's some coaches that maybe would say, BYU would be an interesting spot, but I don't know if I could recruit there. If they have no familiarity with BYU, the program, because let's face it, when we talk about you got to hit it out of the park with LDS recruits and in-state, if you don't have strong connections on that front, does that work for some position coach? Especially on the O-line where there's humongous LDS prospects along the trenches. There's a lot of Polynesians. There's a lot of big LDS men, young men, that could play O-line. That's a position that always should be good at BYU. Yeah. No excuses. They've recruited a high level at that position for decades. The drop-off the experience this year was just inexcusable. And we called it. I mean, coming into the season, we said, we love the personnel in this O-line. We're on our season preview on Cougar Sports Saturday, but Will they live up to the hype? How many years in a row now have we said, this O-line is going to be awesome, and they don't live up to it? The whole Daryl Funk era was plagued by that, yeah, I thought.
And the concern that we nailed in the beginning of the year was, why can't we find five guys here? Why we're in camp, it was, we're splitting reps, this guy here, this
you
guy.
Hit it on the head coming out of spring or in fall camp. You said, say out loud, I remember this line you said because it just stuck with me. Say out loud, why would you switch out Connor Pay, who took every snap in spring at center, and now switch him to guard? Like, say that
that's
out loud.
That's good for his NFL prospects,
like,
Mitch.
It just didn't make sense.
Right.
BYU's O-line got better when Connor Pay was at center and Paul Miley was at guard. Funk was infatuated with Miley at center and Pay at guard, and it just never made sense. And it was the slow start where you're coming out of the gates against Sam Houston scoring only 14 points. Like, BYU barely had success against a 2-9 football team, or 2-10. Sam Houston was terrible this year. So,
you're trying to tell me the meatball didn't live up to hype?
BYU was fortunate that first month of the season was light.
Totally.
That's why we said coming into the year there was a chance for 5-0 start.
Yep.
Despite this team's deficiencies, 5-0 was on the table. And, you know, Slovis was healthy during that month, and they had some moments against Kansas. They were pretty good, but it just didn't work out. And now an offseason, not of overhaul change, but there's got to be some change in that locker room. There's got to be some change in the mindset, the mentality, knowing you know now what how difficult the Big 12 schedule is. It's got to change inside that locker room.
Can I say, too, there needs to be a high premium on, one, of course, hitting the portal and bringing as much talent as you can. But 1B to that would be you have to retain as many players as you can. I know that maybe there's not a lot of stars there, Mitch, but you've got to find a way to keep some talent.
Like basketball.
Like basketball is the perfect example. The first time in years that Pope decides, let's just keep it in-house, they figure it out.
Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Subscribe to the podcast on all podcasting platforms and KSLSports.com. Appreciate all of you calling in this football season. Our first football season here on Cougar Nation. Looking forward to hopefully many more. So for Matt Biamonte, Mitch Harper, producer Nate Slack, talk to you next time here on Cougar Nation.